Good. Well, let's go now to our response panel. We've got Chris Blackwell, who's the principal planner at Penn Hills, Dave Passmore, the webmaster for the City of Pittsburgh, Amanda Settlemyer, the executive director of the Turtle Creek Valley Council of Governments, and our software engineer from Google, Grady Hunziker, and I believe Chris is the one who's going to set the tone. So let's go.
Well, that's I guess the first thing is just really starting out with our experience with data, and even coming to these user conferences over the years. For me personally, as a planner for Penn Hills, I go on the PNCIS site. I became a user with PNCIS, and I look at my own community. I'm looking at Penn Hills, and here I border Pittsburgh, and I see all this data. When I open up the map, Pittsburgh has all this information, and I don't have it in Penn Hills. So I sit there, and my first response was just sort of like, I want that. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I want it, and I want to be able to access it. So that's sort of where I began with data. And you realize with a municipality, we could go around this room and say how many people have computer programs, how many people have data on spreadsheets, how many people have it in drawers, in filing cabinets. So it's really, when we talk about this sharing of data, it's also not just making it available, but even starting to enter it and make it even usable for computer programs or to be able to pass along.
Thanks. My name is David, and I work with the city. Primarily with the city's website, but also over the past 10 years or so, everyone has started to give data in the form of 311 information, and we've had a need to process it as an organization, as a city. One of the things that I work with the city is building a data platform. We have a system that we call SIMS, Standing for City Information Management System, that we're using for a variety of things. One of them is to manage the website content, but also to be a general extensible data platform so that we can do registrations for events, so that we can process 311 data that comes in, so that we could manage the URA's property database, which is something that's been ongoing for us. We have a lot of data that's coming into us at the city, and we're doing our best to move that through the workflow process into departments and then back out to citizens and constituents. So we have a great need for an open data platform, and we're always running against the fragmentation issues that visit upon us in a region such as this. We've been trying since 1901 or before to consolidate the city and the county. So to some degree, we have a great deal of opportunity and a great deal of work to do for these things.
Hi, I'm Amanda Settlemyer from the Turtle Creek Valley Council of Governments. I think one thing that's really important to understand, at least from my perspective of the communities that I work with, and we have 20 member municipalities within our COG, there are varying levels of capacity at those municipalities. So some of our larger ones and medium-sized ones may have the capacity to gather data and maintain it, but many of them don't. And I'll take Chris's comment a step further by saying that some of this data isn't not only just on paper, some of it's in some people's heads. Like, you might have an 80-year-old gentleman who's doing code enforcement and has that information in his head, and that's the only place you're going to find it. So with that said, the Turtle Creek Valley COG has been working in collaboration with the Steel Valley COG and the Twin Rivers COG in what we call a Tri-COG coalition, and we hold monthly Blight Busters meetings where we try and bring up various topics that will help our towns mitigate blight. We're also very interested in the land banking topic and where that might take us. But since we've come together, we've engaged some students and been lucky to get some interns, and They've helped us create a database so we can start collecting data in our towns in a standardized format. We're collecting the data. We're sending the interns out to actually go and get some of this data from our towns. Otherwise, I don't think that we would have as much success in getting it as we have had. We're mapping it, and we're going to use that, of course, as a tool for blight mitigation. So that's my experience. Thanks.
My name is Brady Hunsaker. I'm a coder, and here largely because I enjoy working with data, I enjoy writing code, and I'm motivated to try to help make our communities better and see cases where we can do that better. And it's really sort of a hobby in some ways. My day job is working for Google, and I'm happy that at least in one way I was able to combine those two with the Code Fest, the Steel City Code Fest that was held in February, and that was hosted by Google, and I was on the planning committee along with Bob Graddick. And so that's a place where they can come together. And what I see my role has been, and some of my motivation, is in recognizing that sometimes there's data available, and I think as Greg pointed out, sometimes the first step for the governments is just put it in a machine-readable format, something that can be done. It may not be the easiest, it may not be the format that some of the groups need or that can really use. And I see part of the role of people like me is like, let's help make those connections and let's see, okay, this needs to be done. It may not be that hard for me, and some of the earliest work I have done with Bob has been on things like election data, where it is provided not in an easy-to-use format. And so my perspective is largely about, well, where are the ways that people like me can help? And I think I can find other people like me who are interested in potentially helping, but don't see the ways that what will make the most impact and what will really make a difference to a community in what they need.
Thanks, Brady. And I think what we'll do now is we'll jump into a shared conversation at the panel, and after some time, we'll actually have you jump in as well with your questions from the audience. So I'll lead it off with a question, and then you guys can pick it up and ask each other questions and just take the discussion. But I ask you at the table, I know that the sound is a little rough, so try to get as close as you can to a mic, and we'll share those. But I'll throw that out, the first question out to Brady. You mentioned that these partnerships are really important, but how do we, as a community, a lot of the people in the room really have use of the tools that folks like you can build and use. But how do people with your skill set know about all the challenges and the problems that are happening out in communities and where they can jump in and help?
Yeah, I wish I had a good solution. Actually, I'm probably going to throw the question to Greg in part and ask what he is aware of in Chicago. As I mentioned, I'm not the only person who is a coder professionally and is motivated to help the community. I know lots of people like this. But I think part of it is knowing, hey, there's this group that, wow, if this data set could just be in this other format, we could look at it and it might tell us something important. And we don't hear about that. And I think without some, like Pittsburgh right now doesn't have a central place where we can see that information, where, almost like a sort of matching board, looking. And I'm curious, Greg, if you're aware of this sort of problem being taken on in the Chicago region.
So, if I understand the question, it's an issue of understanding what can be done with the data that's available. Is that?
I guess I look at it partly as sometimes there's data that's there, but a group can't quite make use of it. They're sort of like, or maybe they think they could if they spent hours and hours by hand doing something. And I think if someone would just help me, I could make some more sense of this.
So yeah, this, I know that there have been several attempts, and the first one was Apps for Metro Chicago, to play a matchmaker between, for example, a community nonprofit and serious coders, because the nonprofit knows what they feel, they have ideas about what they can, how they can benefit from data, but they don't really know how to take that vague idea and make it reality. And that's why Apps for Metro Chicago was really an attempt to get sort of the people who need data as end users together with a partner who could actually code it and make it happen. But it's also an occasion where somebody has an idea and they turn back to the government, the source of the data, and say, well, why can't you guys give me, you know, the, let's say, the aggregated numbers and with statistical calculations? And I think that's where most governments are going to say, whoa, you know, too much for us to take on. And so you really have to have a triangle, a partner, a three-way partnership, which is the provider, that's probably the government, but it could also be a university. And then the end user, and in the middle is that intermediary. And currently, civic hackers are filling that role, but I think that also some of those people are turning that role into a moneymaker, so a tech startup.
I guess if I might add to that is that my feeling has always been not to come up with the idea, but just to put the data out. And then someone else, if you look at like the Pittsburgh parking app, I don't know if you all have that on your phone, but clearly the parking garage system knew how many cars, you know, the data was there of how many cars, how many spots there are, and how many cars were in the lot at that time. So someone said, hey, if I put that on an app, I can, you know, someone, so I think it's more us just putting the data out there in a usable platform, is that right? And then letting someone else, so when you say you're looking for what we know, what our needs are, I'm always looking to you to come up with a good idea. We're just going to put the data out there. Does that make sense?
So what happens in a place that isn't Penn Hills, that doesn't have the kind of capacity that a Penn Hills has, if there's somebody who wants to put the data out there, but then they wind up that the database is nothing more than a filing cabinet? What do we do? Maybe this is for David and Amanda.
Well, number one, one thing that I think that we need to do in this region and many other regions is to sort of evangelize the need for open data. And most of us in this room, we're the choir, and I'm preaching to the choir. But here in this region, we have an intrinsic understanding of the need to fill potholes. Everyone does. So I think what we need to do is to make this understanding for data and why we need to share it and what it is and how it can benefit us and impact policies of all kinds. Is something that we need to get out to people and have them understand. And so then it's possible to have a lot of support for these efforts. So when I am putting in a 311 complaint about a pothole or some problem with overgrowth, my neighbor is not putting his trash into the right place, I need to know that when I'm giving that data in there, something is going to happen with it, and it's going to benefit the region ultimately. So, you know, that might be a stretch, but I have to sort of feel that it isn't a stretch. I have to feel a role in it. So, you know, at that point, if we have efforts to make data open and to put it out there, we have to recognize the importance of that process. And so then we have the fuel for platforms and engagement. We always struggle with civic engagement, and you know, before we even get into a discussion of technology, I think we always want to know how to better engage our citizens on civic issues. So we have to fit data in there with the potholes.
Yeah, I think you're right on. I mean, I think these local municipalities are facing so many issues that. So many major issues that they didn't have before with diminishing resources. And so if you're looking to get data from them, they have to understand why it's important to have that data. I will say, too, that not just the larger towns do supply data or understand that this is important. I have a smaller town, East McKeesport Borough, and Connie Rosenbader is here today. She's pretty much a one-person show in East McKeesport, but she gets it. And East McKeesport's really been a leader in putting data sets together and building databases for their community. So it is a matter of education and making people understand how it's going to benefit them.
Yeah, and so Chris mentioned the parking app, and I think There are cases like parking or potholes or riding the bus where coders, just like everyone else, do these things, and coders might be able to have their own idea, this would be a good solution. I think one challenge for a lot of people in the room who are using PNCIS or other data sets is that I think there are lots of uses that really take a better understanding from your community group, and it is a clearer benefit that you see but wouldn't be obvious to many other people. And I think a lot of the data falls in that category. It might not have that broad general use. And I think those are the things where all of you can be helpful in saying, hey, this data may be very useful. It's hard to know for sure, but this may be very useful in this that we're doing or that we're doing. And I think that just documenting that might help somewhat with the governments. Although maybe it comes back to, Greg, your point. Was that ever persuasive to the governments, or was it really that was what made the difference?
So if I knew how to persuade municipal governments to do what it takes to put their data out there, I would have done it by now. But there's a couple things I could say. One is it's unbelievably time-consuming to go backwards and change the way you're doing things. So first of all, there's all those paper records, or as Amanda said, there's this sort of... Well, it's not paper exactly, but it's brain cell records, and those need to somehow come out. But even if you're talking about a municipality that has bought some software to do all, to manage, say, the 311 calls and the building permits and the code violations, some of those softwares don't give you an easy way to export the data. And so you can't really expect these people. A lot of these municipal governments that I've worked with in Chicago have... you know, maybe 10, 12 employees, and most of those people are going to be out there doing the inspections, not messing around with a computer system. So it's extraordinarily difficult. I would make a couple recommendations, though. One is to go ahead, I think Amanda said, use student interns, because these are folks who have boundless amounts of energy and also a great understanding, an intuitive understanding of technology. The other thing, though, that happened in Illinois, and this is something that very few people, even in Illinois, are aware of, but our Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, she made it her mission to strengthen the Freedom of Information Act in Illinois so that the burden of proof falls on the state or the municipality, the government, to prove that they can't release data. So in other words, prior to that, a municipality could just say, well, we don't want to, you know, we're not going to give that person this data. And the burden was on the requester of the data to prove that they needed it. What Lisa Madigan did is turn that around and said, no, you have to give them the data unless you, government, can prove that there's harm to be had from that. So I'm not going to say that solved all the problems, but as soon as you tell a municipal government that they're going to have to start fulfilling all these FOIA requests, I think the calculus of what how much effort to put into data building up a database really shifts. So I don't know if that can be politically possible here, but it's certainly
that's
made
already enforced. That's
beautiful. Yeah.
I think so. Back to Penn Hills, we in this past year implemented a computer software program to document code enforcement. I'm currently working on a page for blighted properties, vacant properties, and then what happens too is that when you talk about giving this data. It's called CitizenServe, and there's also an ability for citizens to actually go in and track their complaint online. So what happens is then, and I'm sure a lot of people have thought of this while they're talking about this data, is that code enforcement officers, we're government employees, so people are they're questioning whether I should have a vacation or something. You know, if I'm away, well, where is Mr. Blackwell? Well, you know, I'm paying for his vacation. So what happens is the code enforcement officers were concerned that. Or they are concerned that people are going to be tracking how long it takes them to respond to a complaint. So my answer to that, and a lot of the concerns about giving out data with communities, is that if you walked into my office today, I'd hand you that file. It is available. It's not we don't hold it. We don't. You know, if somebody wants to know about a complaint or wants to know about a building permit, I'll hand it to you. So I think that if people realize that I would hand it to you, then I can still give it to you, even though now it's digital. Now, it does require that for you to go on our website that you do it, put in a password, you have to register. So in some ways, there is some, you know, I guess the people that are really going to be tracking and following it, they're the people that are at the council meeting doing that anyway.
Thank you.
So I don't know if that's like another level of, with data shares, that people get concerned about privacy, confidentiality, but also their own jobs. And that's, I think that's important. But another thing about the smaller communities, Bob knows I was, so I'm working on this entry of, for vacant properties, and I was looking for a way to grade them A through F. And I ended up going to Connie, the one-woman show in East McKeesport. Over all the municipalities that I emailed, she had, I'm using her, her A through F. So so sometimes the smaller communities do have a lot to offer, and the energy, and the bigger municipalities need to follow their lead.
I have a question. Are the smaller community municipalities that are doing this, where are they sharing data now, or like how?
Well, I think right now the data is being shared with the TRICOG initiative, you know, and we're putting this together on a regional level so that we can use it as a tool to try and understand the specifically the problem of blight right now.
Okay. Do you think this is the sort of thing where if there were, I mean, I feel like in Pittsburgh right now there is this lack of, there's not an obvious place to put this data. Like, for example, I collaborate with Bob on some of the election results and putting it in an easier format, but then there's not a great place to say, hey, here's where we can put this available to anyone. If there were such a location, do you think that there are data sets that municipalities would already be willing to share like that?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I would say the information that we've collected through the TRICOG initiative is being shared with PNCIS right now.
Okay, yeah. Great.
I think, too, there's a lot of terms being thrown around, and I'm not embarrassed to say I don't know what you're talking about. You know, when you talk about APIs and this, all these, so I think that, and then I know myself, I've kind of taken the position where you're taxpayers, and so you've paid for it already. So when people say, hey, can I get some of this data, I've actually told engineers, architects, I say, come on in and sit at my desk, and you can take it, but I just don't know how to give it to you. And you know, so I think like some of these things you're talking about, I really don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to put it on the portal if I had one. I don't know if that's.
I have a question, David. Next, and I have a question. Go ahead, David.
Oh. I just wanted to say something about the process of collaboration with governments, large and small, and I think I might have to incur the wrath of Greg to a certain degree. I think that open source is really integral to open data, and I know that's not exactly what you were, but as far as open source goes, we run the danger of fragmentation in the way that we use this data, in the way that we collect it, in the way that we process it, and the way that we distribute it. So a lot of municipalities, especially smaller ones, are going to have to turn to vendors or to civic hackers, to do something with the information. And if that's not done with a program that I can download for free, like Python or PostgreSQL, then I'm going to have to go out and buy it, and it's not going to happen for smaller municipalities. So I think there is a window here where these platforms could be built on open source tools, and that is something that's really, really important to the process. One quick example is PostgreSQL, which is really quite similar to Oracle. We had started moving some of the 311 data from Oracle into PostgreSQL. Oracle is, I hope there's not a salesman in the room, but it's $50,000 per license, per database, and we can save the city a great deal when we turn to an open source tool. I imagine that sort of savings is not just something we opt for, but that we have to do. So when it comes to the concept of open source, I think it's right there with open data in the sense of managing the data and in the sense of presenting it. There's great tools that Google has provided. There's you know, there's a lot of ways to make websites that you know, we could make portals with, that people could plug in and engage, even if they don't know a whole lot about APIs or runtime environments. There's a way to get in there with that in mind.
But one thing, I know that we have a number of folks here within local government. Other than through the TRICOG initiative, how many of you are sharing or receiving data from another municipality or another county? Just a show of hands, and if anybody wants to make a remark about if you want to talk about, I know Catherine Plunkett and Matt Mercurio at Allegheny County GIS probably have a few things to say. I'll give you the floor here for a few seconds then. She pointed at you.
We'll talk about it. Yeah, at Allegheny County, we do a monthly update of parcels, address points, and street center lines to PASDA, Pennsylvania Spatial Data Access, which is a node on national data sharing system. Monthly, we also update data for operating and Lewis in Still Valley Park.
So you can see the process that we go through is very high-tech sheet.
Yeah. If people have FWP sites, then we can share it that way. But otherwise, we get data out as best we can to anyone who asks. We have formalized data exchange agreements for municipalities, other governmental agencies, and for companies or organizations who would give us data in return from whatever project they were developing with our data. Also asking them not to use the data for any other project, again, for privacy issues, because once data is released, we're not sure exactly where it's going to go or what it's going to be used for. And we do hope that we won't get that gotcha reaction from somebody is bad. We request that if data needs to be updated, that data be sent back to us.
Good. That's Catherine's job. She does that specifically for us to deal with the data set. That helps us out a lot. To pick some of the point person to do that, to be with technical folks, to figure out how to get it out there. One more.
I work for Allegheny County too, but in the Department of Human Services. And we have kind of interesting MOUs with this local school districts and a lot of different ways that you guys are maybe not.
The group of us here represents the Erie Area Council governments, and we're doing a very large electronic government project where we're working with the municipalities throughout Erie County to do collaborative sharing of information within the municipality and across the borders. And we're using a SharePoint base to do that, a platform, and then we're building from that. But this is an ideal thing that we should be doing a lot more and that we can do can happen across this state. I just want to get that in here at this moment, I think. But there are the tools coming through to do these things.
So one thing I've heard from municipalities, and we'll hear about this afternoon through Ann Lewis in her presentation, but there are a lot of municipal government contractors that work with data and collect taxes and do other government functions. Do they share the data back with the government themselves? Amanda, you're smiling.
Oh, yeah. That's because it's a source of frustration to me. But I would say no. And it's municipalities' data, you know. But I think when they go to, we do utility billings, too, at the Turtle Creek Valley COG. So we encounter this on probably more of a regular basis than the other COGs. But, you know, when we get a new utility billing account from one of our members, it's often very difficult to get that data. So from that perspective, I can tell you that I don't think it's that for-profit businesses are that interested in sharing data.
But within the tax collection committees that are happening across the state, when they're, each county is required to hire a single point for an income tax collection. I'm not sure, in Allegheny County it might be multiple.
I've heard the reports are very difficult to understand.
Yeah, we've been getting the reports and then they're being shared.
But do you understand the reports, even though they're being shared?
I don't know. I think he understands it. But that's requiring the sharing of information under state law.
Yeah, well, it might be required, but I'll tell you, you might be waiting a long time for it, and the quality of data you get might not be so good. Just from my experience.
No,
just from my experience.
I wanted to jump in with a comment. In my prior work life, I worked with a company that worked with school district software, and as a result, we would try to get our hands on student data because we needed to build our information management system on that backbone. But we found many times in this region with large school districts that the data was in a proprietary format and the school district didn't own it. They didn't own the student data. They had to buy it from developers, and in some cases, not companies, but individuals sitting in their homes with CDs that had the data. So this is a thorny issue at times.
So in terms of working across municipalities with data, one of the other topics that's come up, and maybe Greg can start with this one, is the issue of data standards. So how do we know, for example, that the definition of vacant property in Penn Hills means the same thing as in East McKeesport, other than you've talked to Connie, which is great.
Right.
You know, how do we get those standards to evolve here in this region? Because in looking at this data, there are different standards for everything from parcel numbering to the definition of, you know, land use to everything else. How do we start that process, Greg? And is it important?
There's no easy way to do this with standardization. So the first thing is that the federal government has already, well, for decades, they've been trying to work on data standards, and they did come up with something called the National Information Exchange Model. It's being used, I think, by the Department of Justice and a couple of others, but by the time they finished writing the standard, it was obsolete. I mean that seriously. And the people who wrote the standard were fantastic. I met a couple of them, and they were really devoted to what they were doing, very smart. Standards can be top-down, or they can sort of emerge. And generally, they don't do either. There are no standards across municipalities. In fact, the seven counties in the Chicago region have been working for decades to try to standardize their own, just what they collect and what they call it and how they collect it. So I don't know of any easy way for this to work. But I think that if you can start with something like, for example, Open 311 was created by Code for America. And it was adopted by the city of Chicago after it was adopted by the city of San Francisco and others. So all of a sudden, there's a very easy solution. It's free, it works, and they'll give it to you, and they'll even send a Code for America intern to set it up for you. And so now all of a sudden, there's no argument about what 311 calls look like and what the different pieces of it mean, because they're all using Open 311. And I'm not saying that could translate to everything that municipalities do. I don't think that's the case. But it's something, I mean, it's a breath of fresh air that they, you know, all these cities now are using Open 311. And that's a great way to go. I don't believe in top-down standards. They just simply, I've been around long enough to have seen a lot of them crash and burn. It just, over time, they don't hold up. There's also something, you know, that you would have to call just an ad hoc standard that developers, you know, just basically communicating with each other, we'll just say, why don't we just informally agree that these things are going to be called this? And that works a little bit, but if you don't really codify it, it's not going to really have any impact. I think that this is a very, very difficult problem, and I don't have any easy solution to it. But I do think that, you know, the more that code gets out on GitHub, by the way, I mentioned GitHub. I don't know how many developers are in here, how many people actually write code. GitHub is a website where people who write code post it and allow anybody else to download it. If you do that, enough people download it, and pretty soon they're just writing variations of the same code you already wrote, so they're probably calling the same thing. So that's another, I guess, something to keep in mind.
Now, Amanda, do you think they'd be interested in that sort of multi-municipal Open 311 type of approach in your COG or other communities?
I don't know. I mean, I think I'd have to know a little bit more to be able to answer that. You know, I'm not sure.
I've looked at Open 311 and it's great. And there's so much opportunity for civic hackers like our friend Brady, who are just motivated to do something with the data that's out there and to solve those problems. When we have Open 311, we have a great system for the intake of information. So perhaps then we have some standards on, you know, how to send an information request, a pothole fill, into the system and process it. So that opportunity I spoke of is then, let's take it another step. Let's give them the tools that take that from the intake level to the workflow level. So we're talking about something that impacts not only the 311 department, but the public works department, the building inspection department. So much opportunity there to take things from just being sent into government to standards how government can operate. So I could say, well, I've got a constituent request. I need to move it to the place that it's going to be worked on. And then I need to move it out to the people who have the shovels and have the pavement who do those things. And that's where maybe some of these efforts are, we're not quite at that workflow level with some of the apps that we have out there. So, I mean, it's actually quite a tremendous amount of opportunity to work on these levels of workflow.
I would say we've got a few minutes left in our discussion. I'd like to open it up to comments and questions from the audience for Greg or for the other panelists.
Yeah. I have a question.
If you could stand up and talk as loudly as you can, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. I have a question for Greg. Greg, I think that if we completed a map of the Pittsburgh region, similar to the one that you did, showing the availability of data, I think our map would probably look somewhat similar to yours for the following reason. I think the city, as a large center city, probably very much like yours, has the capacity to share their data openly. And the further out you get, the smaller the staff in the office is, the more you're likely to have the, and we do have them, by the way, the 80-year-old code enforcement officer who stores everything in his head. And so I'm just curious, two things. One, have you had conversations about that and about how to close those gaps and increase that capacity? And if so, what those conversations, what your potential solutions were.
Yeah, so I've had nothing but that kind of conversations for 11 years. And by the way, just in terms of full disclosure, I'm actually leaving the Regional Planning Commission after 11 years. It's just, I feel like 11 years is long enough to be in any one job, but for 11 years, those are the conversations I've had. And I think there are solutions. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, because when I'm saying I'm going out on a limb, it's because I wasn't able to make it work in the past 11 years. But I do think that there are solutions because of a few recent trends. I think there's a couple things that are required. First of all, that open source piece is really important, because I do think that we have to make sure that something is not only affordable but free. That's kind of important. The second thing is those open source solutions, I can tell you, are not really robust enough yet to handle municipal data across an entire region. But I can identify the pieces that are missing. One of them, I forget it was over here mentioned, that you need an easy way to upload, to get the data into the system. And that is a piece that's missing. That's one thing. And then all the others that I mentioned before, discoverability and so on. But I do think that with open source tools that have a few of the missing pieces filled in, you could actually do this and make it work across the whole region. And by the way, it's not just municipalities. School districts, park districts, different nonprofit groups, like we have the Arts Alliance in Chicago, or the, the natural resources people. And they could easily have sort of a portal where they all put the data up there too, and then you can federate those. Federation is a wonderful thing. It just means that you can say, well, we have an open data portal and you have an open data portal, so we're just going to allow them to talk to each other, so that if somebody types in a keyword and they type it in on my website, they can find your website. So all those things are really crucial.
Thanks, Greg. I know we have a question here on my left.
Hi, my name is Emily. I just arrived in Pittsburgh, and I just am in a master's program for public health. And I know that with healthcare reform and even earlier efforts, the trouble of getting data on electronically for health records is extremely important, and we encounter a lot of the same difficulty. And within the government, in the Office of the National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, which is a federal office, they've set up things called regional extension centers, which have helped small care providers have electronic health records, and they help them deal with the interoperability among larger health systems. And I'm wondering if there is something like that on a federal level or on a state level where you actually set up these centers to then go out and help small municipal governments, if there is something like that going on a broader scale, or if there's opportunity for that. I don't know who would be able to answer that, but that was sort of the first thing that came into my mind where we encountered a lot of the same troubles and been able to come up with some solutions.
Yeah, I mean, I can take a first crack at that. Maybe else wants to. I think the reason this has worked with health records is that there is a tremendous push from the federal government to rationalize and standardize healthcare. And I think that's all rolled into Obamacare, and what, you know, however you feel about that, I think there's a very clear and important need for improving our healthcare systems, and I think that push is what led to the kind of investment you're talking about. Other than healthcare, I don't think there's anything quite like it. And I mentioned a few minutes ago about criminal justice. Right here in Pennsylvania, and I only learned this two nights ago, because I was talking to some people who worked on it, but there is something called JNET, which is a justice, I don't know what it stands for, but it's Department of Justice within Pennsylvania, where they now have a lot of data exchange standards among public safety organizations, so the police departments basically, first responders and so on. But in the absence of that sort of really almost crisis mentality, it's really difficult for me to picture a solution for this coming from the federal government. I do think that it's important for local governments to really provide technical assistance. And this, by the way, was something that CMAP was working on, is trying, we had a HUD grant for technical assistance. It wasn't just around data collection, but that was a piece of it. So I think that local governments really have to take this on, and particularly state governments. The other question, I want to return to the question that was asked a few minutes ago about motivating. So getting municipalities to like get on board, I do think that there is an aspect of this. My boss always calls it the Tom Sawyer effect, because there was a great scene in one of the Tom Sawyer where Tom is out whitewashing the fence, and pretty soon he's acting like he really, really enjoys whitewashing the fence. And so pretty soon everybody in the neighborhood is lining up because it looks like so much fun. And he keeps saying, well, you're not going to do it right. I don't think I should let you try this. And then, of course, they all grab the paintbrush. And pretty soon the fence is painted, and Tom did like 5% of it. You know, if a couple of municipalities get together and say, we're going to do this, and maybe a COG would be the ideal way to do it, to start, to say, we're gonna just get together once a quarter and talk about this and see how we can make it better. And we're going to invite somebody from, say, Google to help us maybe make it flow a little bit better. And then other municipalities see that and say, wait a minute, they're doing, you know, X, Y, and Z over there. Can't we do that? And that's the only way I can really picture this working. And I don't expect this to happen fast, and I don't think you guys do either. Not in Chicago and not in Pittsburgh, but it'll happen.
I think what's happening is it's a hard sell for our own communities. Like when you're talking about public safety or healthcare, there's money, there's public safety, with crime, police statistics, things like that. But with the municipal, it's a harder sell for my own municipality to spend $50,000 on software. What are we going to get out of it? And I think David talked about even, you know, maybe in the end, if you have all these, you know, if I could speak for you, all these potholes that, you know, first you get the data coming in that says, and there's all these complaints about a specific pothole and one complaint about this one. So we're not going to do that, the one that's not getting as many complaints. But then also, if you're Public Works Department can't keep up with them, well, then maybe you need to raise taxes to hire somebody else, you know, so that it keeps going on. So sometimes with this data, it's always how do you sell it? How do you show that we're going to collect all this data? We're all talking about all this data collection, but, you know, what's the end product that we're all going to benefit from? You know, and I think that's the hard part for a lot of municipal data is what's the product? What are we actually trying to create? Where are we headed with it?
I think with medical data, there's a great opportunity to visualize how savings can be brought from that. And it's probably going to be something like medical data or something else that's going to open a lot of eyes about how we need to collect data and share it. It might not be potholes. It might not be public art. There's a new public art registry going to be launching in Pittsburgh very soon. It's very exciting. But something is going to open people's eyes, and we're going to be able to take from that a flow chart. And this is how they did it. They did a good job documenting it. They did it to save money. And when I'm sitting on my couch and I turn off the television, I have a sense that that there's a reason why it's happening, why maybe if someone is talking about, you know, raising a tax to support libraries or something of that nature, you know, I'll feel like it's you know, it's worthwhile for those things to happen. And medical data is probably a good ground work for that.
Anyone else have a question? Sabina, do you have a question?
We were just a couple minutes short of 3 o'clock, so we've got plenty of time for a break in between. I want to thank Greg Sanders for a wonderful talk and very inspiring on a lot.